Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are such a privileged people, Lord, to have this privilege, Lord, to come and to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, we pray that as the door of the ark is closing, we pray You'd help us, O God, to see the hour and the day in which we live, and Lord, to ever be ready. And Father, we just ask You now to help us as we continue to review this series on Christ, His mystery of God revealed. And help us, Lord, as we approach tonight Thy word concerning the attributes of a Son of God. And we ask that You would help us, Lord, to receive those attributes in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this evening, we're going to try to get through about 12 of the 23 sermons concerning the attributes of a Son of God. And since there are so many in this mini-series that developed out of this sermon of Brother Branham's, we'll have to move quickly tonight through these attributes, and we'll not be able to spend too much time on any particular attribute. So if you wish to go through in more detail, you can go back to the series from whence these attributes were preached to review them for yourselves. We began our mini-series on the attributes of the Son of God with number 68 in our series, and we entitled that, They Believe the Word and Will Come to the Light. In paragraph 160 of his sermon, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Branham vindicated prophet of God. He said, that's the only way that you'll know Him today. The only way that you'll get the threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. And if it don't, you'll never see it. If you're not predestinated to see it, you'll never see it, because the light can flash and you'll go away and make fun of it and explain it away with some intellectual conception, when the very God Himself is manifesting Himself and He's proving it, see? But if it ain't upon you to see it, you won't see it. So we can say that all these people that are falling away, it wasn't meant for them. You know, people say, well, you're upset. No, I'm not upset. You know, if it's not for them, it's not for them. In the book of Acts 13:48, we read, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, they expressed one attribute, and that is to believe. Amen. So there's your evidence that you're spirit-filled. Again, in his sermon, End Time Sign Seed, Brother Branham said, you can only do it as you're predestinated to believe it. You remember, although Jesus done so many miracles, the Pharisees couldn't believe it. They couldn't get it into their head, because it wasn't to be that way. And if your heart is so hard that you know right there that that word of God, of God's not working itself through you, and then you won't raise your hands to God to ask for mercy, what are you going to do on the day of judgment? All right. And again, 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction, that means an anointing, from the Holy One, and you know all things. And we read in Brother Bram's sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, how can men believe unless they were ordained to believe? There were many people in his days who did not believe, but he came to those who did believe it. And again, we hear the scripture tell us in John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God life, which is the Holy Ghost. And notice it comes via the believing first. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But we also find in scripture that the attribute of being serpent seed is just the opposite. They have no place for the word, and therefore they do not believe. In John 8:37, we read, and I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And in 1 John 4:5-6, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you, on the other hand, have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. And remember that word hath comes from the Greek word echo. Now these scriptures were quoted back in March of last year, a full 6 months before anyone had left this church. But this is a biblical truth whether people want to admit it or not. So if people say, well, he's just doing it again. He's saying, reading John, you know, 1 John 2 and verse 19, they went out from among us because, listen, this was read 6 months before anybody left the church. It was presented to the people. They know it. And this is not targeted at anybody in particular. It's just scriptural truth. But this led us to Christ's mystery, God revealed, number 69. Attributes of a Son of God, number 2. They understand God's word. Not only do they believe, but they understand. Remember, John told us that we have an unction and anointing from the Holy Ghost, and thus we know all things. Now, we heard Brother Bram say in the sermon, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, how can men believe unless they were ordained to believe? There were many people in his days who did not believe, but he came to those who did believe it. And so God anoints his seed to not only see, but to believe, and thus understand what he wants us to see and believe. And that is what we just read in 1 John 2 and 20. In fact, we know that unless you are born again by the Spirit of God, you will never see, nor will you understand the things of God. You ask yourself, why are people so confused? It's because they're not born again. Get born again and you won't get confused. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So you understand, we must have been ordained to it or we will never get it, even if it's explained as plainly as it can be explained. I used to think that Brother Bram said things in such a way as to blind some and to reveal to others, but it's the same words, brother. The word blinds those who do not have eyes to see. He did not say one of them. He did not say one thing to them and then another thing to us. He said the same thing to both. The same word that reveals is the same word that blinds. The same sun that melts the wax is the same sun that hardens the clay. Notice Paul tells us in the next verse, in speaking of this hidden wisdom, that if you are not ordained to see it, you never will see it. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now notice these things that God is doing are for those who love him. Those ordained to love him. And Paul tells us how that we're able to receive them and understand these hidden things. Verse 10 he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, there's only one the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So your spirit doesn't search anything. All your spirit can understand is the things of man. So it can't possibly understand the things of God. But if you are born again by the Spirit, God's very own Spirit, his very own life living and abiding in you, then you can't help but to hunger and thirst for more of God's life. And therefore, he said, the Spirit will search all things. So when men are not interested, it is because they are not subject to God's Spirit, but they are abiding in their own spirit, their fleshly spirit. Then Paul says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. So we see very clearly here that unless you're born again, unless you have the Spirit of Christ, remember, Brother Branham said in John 14, 12, he said, the things that I do shall you do also. And Brother Branham said, see, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you can't be a believer. I mean, you can't be that believer. Amen? And he says, so if you have the Spirit of Christ, you're going to do the things of Christ. You're going to act like him. You're going to talk like him. Listen, you're going to think like him. And that's why he says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Men think like men. Women think like women. Even so the things of God knoweth no man. Knoweth no man. No man. Except by the Spirit of God. So unless you have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to understand. It's going to be total wacky. You're going to have all kinds of isms and everything else creep up. So we see here, very clear, that unless you're born again, you will never understand what this message is all about. Now, that won't stop people from admiring certain abilities that they see in certain preachers, and thus following those preachers, but to faithfully follow a man doesn't mean one red cent to God. If it did, then Judas could have not been lost, yet he was very faithful follower of Jesus right up to the end of Jesus' ministry in the flesh. But notice at the end he manifested what seed life was really in him, and he couldn't turn that corner when Jesus and the rest of them turned that corner to the place of adoption. And Paul tells us in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Therefore, the word of again, and of is an acronym, I believe. OF, out from. If you think of, you say this is the house of Adam. It shows possession, out from. It's Adam's house. Anyway, that we might know the things that are freely given to us God. So God gives us the Spirit for one reason, and that's to know the things of God. So you can see that the reason that we receive the Spirit of God is that we might know the things of God. And if we receive them, then we are going to talk about them, and they will be the focus of our mind and of our heart and thus of our speaking. Paul said in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So our comparisons will not be spiritual with natural and natural with spiritual, but they will be comparing spiritual things with spiritual principles. In other words, we won't have our focus on the natural world and then try to make something spiritual out of the natural world. I met plenty of those people along the way who are always looking at the world, and then they try to make something spiritual out of everything that they see in the world. Frankly, I'm not interested in the world. I just want his life living my life for me. And Paul continues saying, but the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And in order for them to be spiritually discerned, it then takes one who has God's Spirit to do so, because unless you are Spirit-filled, you will never be able to discern the things of God. And this word discern means to properly search and scrutinize, investigated, discerned, examined, then judged. So if you're not spirit-filled, then good luck understanding what this message is really about. And that is why we have such a mess among us in all camps, because men are chasing after their own intellectual endeavors instead of a true relationship with God. And that is why hardly no one in the ministry is focused on this end-time season and the promises God has in store for them that love him. They're out swishing this and swishing that, and who's right and who's wrong, and all that other nonsense. Get in love with the Maker. He's the one coming. He's already here, in fact. But notice Paul says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now the Greek word that was translated into this word judgeth and judged in verse 15 is the same Greek word Paul uses in verse 14 when he spoke of being able to discern the things of God. And we already showed you that no man can discern the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him to do so. And then Paul says, and in fact the same thing holds true for you, once you have the Spirit of God in you, you will be able to discern others because you were just like them, but they will no longer be able to discern you because they have no clue where you are today because they don't have the same Spirit as you. You were the man who could understand the things of a man, but now you are sons of God, quickened to life, God life, and you can now understand what is happening to you and to the others who are also have God life. But since these others have not been quickened to the same God life, they cannot understand where you're coming from or where you're going. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, if you are a junkie, you can understand what a junkie goes through. Right? But a junkie could never understand what a son of God goes through unless he's had an experience with God. And that's the key right there. If you have the Spirit of God, you have the mind of God. And if you have not the Spirit of God, then how can you ever have the mind of God? And if you've not taken the mind of God, then how can you know and understand the things of God? So then, what have they got? They've got religion. That's all they've got. Plenty of religion, but lacking the Spirit. Twins. And therefore, the second attribute of serpent seed is that they have no understanding of the word. Or they can quote the word like Satan did to Jesus, but they cannot rightly divide it, nor can they place it in its context and in its order. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 tells us, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So their actions proved that they didn't know. And by your fruits you shall know them, the Bible says. And Brother Branham said in his sermon, Mary's Belief, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, see means to understand. There's a lot of people that say that they're born again and they can't understand the message of God, can't see the angel of the Lord. Their eyes are blinded, brother. Except a man be born of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that wrote the word will confirm the word, and the same confirmation of the Holy Ghost in you. You see what I mean? It will bear record of itself. Then our spirit bears record with his spirit, because his spirit bears record with his word. And that led us to Christ is the mystery of God, number 70. Attributes of a Son of God, number 3. They gathered together unto him the word, because, well, let's face it, what else are you going to gather to? Notice Ephesians 1 and 10. Paul tells us that the predestined elect seed of God are ordained to be gathered together in Christ. And never forget, Christ is the word. Not just the word, but the anointed word for the hour in which we live. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So if he's not gathering you to Christ, you're not going to be gathered by a church social program. If God's not in it, you won't be there. Mark 13:27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Now, I want you to contrast this gathering to those who are serpent seed, because both are gathered to something. But God's elect seed are gathered together to the word, while serpent seed are gathered into bundles for the burning. They're gathered to by organization. John 3:19, the basis of the judgments and the indictments, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than they do the light. For their works, their deeds were evil. For everyone, every evildoer, wrongdoer, he hates, he loathes, he detests the light, and will not come out into the light, but shrinks away from it, lest his works, his deeds, his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved. But he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. That's a pretty good translation. I believe that was called the voice. So I see that those without the baptism of the Holy Ghost not only will misunderstand the word for the hour, but they will avoid it, because it will expose the life that they live, that it is not a life that is born again as a Christian is. Remember, Christian means Christ-like. They will gather themselves, however, to organization, because they are religious. And birds of a feather will always flock together. But they cannot take the light, so they will gather to organization, where their life will not have the exposure by the word, so they can get lost in the crowds, because many more are the children of the desolate than she which has a husband. That's why people love the big churches. It's easy to hide from the preacher. It's easy to hide from the Holy Ghost, because they can hide behind the masses of people. And their lives never get exposed in those big churches. No, they don't. But their lives are exposed by the word of God. And that leads us to Christ is the mystery, number 71. Attributes of the Son of God, number 4. They have the mark and the seal of God. And this sermon, in the sermon, we learned that without the Holy Spirit, you're not even sealed. You're not sealed in. Paul said in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I don't know how enough to emphasize the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost, and I want you to know there are many people who think that they have it because they believe. But to just believe doesn't even mean that you're even saved. In this next quote, look how Brother Branham says, until God confirms your belief, you're still lost. From the message preparation, he says, the people say, well, now, Brother Branham, when I believe, that settles it. No, it doesn't. There has to be a transaction of God there in a confirmation of your faith, giving you a new birth. I'm just so sick and tired of seeing people thumbing their way to heaven. They just say, you believe that? Uh-huh. You believe that? You believe that? That's hitchhikers. Brother, God ain't got such things as that. A man's got to be born of the Spirit of God, regenerated, and made a new creature, or he's lost. That's all. That's exactly right. We got to believe it. We got to accept it. You say, well, I believe it. That settles it. No, it doesn't. I told you the other night that Cain was a believer. And I'll give you a little stronger meat than that tonight if you want to believe it. The devil is a believer. The Bible says he believes and he trembles. The devil is a believer. Now, if belief and faith in God is all that you have to have to be saved, then the devil's saved according to the Word of God. That's right. But brother, it's got to take the Holy Spirit, a new birth, a regeneration, a new creature in Christ Jesus. When God comes down and puts the Spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. So we see that there must be a confirmation of your faith, which is when God fills you with His Spirit after you have believed. And as Mary, you receive that overshadowing or supernatural influence upon your life, and that influence brings with it a new life within you, one that reflects His divine nature. That's exactly what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 and 3. He says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness. Godliness means godlikeness. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see the divine nature comes with receiving His divine power or His Spirit. From you must be born again, Brother Branham said, if I am saved, then I live like I am saved. Now, that's what Brother Branham said in Be Not Afraid. He said, if you live the life, I believe you got it. You say, well, I got it speaking in tongues. Amen. If you live the life, I believe you got it. But if you don't live the life, you didn't get it. That's all. See, you've got to have the life behind it. By their fruits, you shall know them. That's right. And from Hebrews chapter 6, Brother Branham said, now, you can all be worked up in emotion by speaking in tongues and shouting and jerking and shaking and running up and down the aisle. Nothing against that, but you can make yourself believe that you're saved when you're not. You're not saved. Your life will prove what you are. Jesus said it, by their fruits you shall know them. Your life will prove whether you're saved or not if you never open your mouth. It'll prove what you are. But all this work up in emotion and joining church, and I've been baptized in Jesus' name, hallelujah, I know I got it, that doesn't mean nothing. In other words, fundamentalism means nothing. It's not how fundamental you are, because Balaam was just as fundamental as Moses. And Brother Brown tells us in his sermon, God's provided way of fellowship. He says, and we realize that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the seal of God. For it is written in Ephesians 4 and 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. That is why Paul ties our having the seal of God with our being His. In 2 Timothy 2 and 19, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, it's not that God knows you because, you know, before the foundation of the world, He had this thought in His mind, and therefore He knows you. But that word know is from the Greek word gnosko, and it means He knows you in an experiential way. So you and God experience one another in a unique, supernatural way. And that led us to Christ is the mystery of God, number 72, attributes of Son of God, number 5, they possess eternal life, which is God life. Now, in Christ the mystery of God revealed, way back in paragraph 11, Brother Branham quotes John 5:24, and he says in St. John 5:24, said, he that heareth my words, he that heareth, it's already yours, my word, and believeth on him that sent me, he's passed from death unto life, and shall no more come into the condemnation or judgment. See that predestinated seed laying there? Yes, sir. See, as soon as the light strikes it, it comes to life right quick. And remember, we have already shown you, when the word says that he that heareth, it means he that understandeth. So, he that understands my word hath, past tense, eternal life, which is the Holy Ghost. Notice he didn't say it comes to life 30 years later. He said when the light strikes it, it will come to life. That's right here. He says as soon as the light strikes it, it comes to life right quick. I've seen people hang around this message for 30 years and never move a lick toward God. They come to church, they pay their tithes. You know, they're decent people as far as getting along and things like that. But they've never grown because they've never met God. The light never struck, because as soon as the light strikes, it doesn't wait 30 years to take place. It begins immediately. Then in paragraph 115, he says, it's not an expression of some church that we should express something. It's a life that you don't live yourself. But he comes into you and lives by himself, and you become a prisoner to any intellectual being at all. You're led by the Spirit. In paragraph 120, Brother Brown said, look, Christ in you. Christ in who? He said, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. And remember, revelation, or to reveal how? To reveal as in to manifest or express the life. See, Christ's life in you, that makes him the center of the revelation. That makes him the center of the expression. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation or the expression of the whole thing. See, what God's trying to do, what is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Not personally to Lee Vail. Not personally to William Branham. Not personally to Brian Kosorik or to Don. It's personally to you, each of you. You see? Not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. No matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. I don't care. I mean, I'm adding this, but I can say it. I don't care if it's pastor, priest, whatever it might be. It's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this sermon was preached almost 50 years ago. 50 years ago, and we've been waiting for our jubilee. Well, I tell you, there is nothing mysterious why you've come here at this time. It's the year of jubilee, and that's from last year. That led us to number 73, attributes of the Son of God. Number 6, they have God attributes. And we listed many of those attributes to show you what you yourself also are to possess when you have this God life. In Genesis 1:11, we read, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding her fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Notice, God said it, and then it manifested. That's your word. God speaks, and then it has to manifest. And Peter told us in 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, that's number one, and the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power, which is the word, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and God-likeness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice he has not just called us to glory, to doxa, to the same opinion and values, but he has called us to express those opinions and values by the way of what he calls virtue. Because virtue is a power and it's an expression. So if he calls us to glory and virtue, as he says right here, he hath called us to glory and virtue. He's calling us to the doxa, which is the opinion and values, and to the virtue or the expression. And there's got to be a power to express. From the stature of a perfect man, Brother Brown said, now first you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. You've got, Peter said, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now then, it might be the reason that you don't have it because many churches today teach that you don't have to have it. Or the days of it has passed. They don't have to have it. Only thing that you have to do is just join the church. Yeah, days has passed. Virtue, anyone knows what the word virtue means, see? And we must have it. If virtue went out from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength, is power. Some of them don't even believe in power of God. They say, well, that's past. Only thing you have to do is just put your name on the book, be sprinkled or poured or baptized or whatever more, and that's all you have to do. But Peter said, add virtue. In other words, if you believe John 14:12 is he, and it was in one man, and that's been 50 years ago that he's been gone, then what you're saying in essence is the days of miracles is past. And that's the very thing Brother Branham fought. His entire ministry. People saying the days of miracles is past. And the power he's talking about is what Paul calls in Hebrews 7 and verse 16, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. You've got the Holy Ghost, you've got that power. It's in you. Now the power to live the opinions and the values of God. That is what virtue is the glory expressed. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, what's the divine nature? It's the nature of God. Right? So he's saying that through the word we receive the power to express the very nature of God. And that brings us to Christ is the mystery of God, number 74. Attributes of a son of God, number 7. They are obedient and patiently they wait for the promise. In his sermon, Faith of Abraham, Brother Brown said, how did they get the Holy Ghost? They were up and continued praising God for the promise before the promises was ever made manifest. They didn't have a lot of amount of time. He said, tarry ye or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And remember, we talked about that word endued the other day, and it means totally immersed, saturated. So be saturated in the power from on high. Just wait. And they were up there blessing God. They were praising and thanking God for the promise, and they know that it would come, and it did come. And it'll come tonight if you'll just take that same attitude. Therefore, if we believe in all these promises that we have for this hour, to be manifested sons of God, to be adopted sons of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, all these essential doctrinal teachings, but we know them. These are promises that God made for us. Now, here's the thing. He's giving us the illustration that those people knew it and they waited for it. He never told them, wait 3 days and 4 hours and you're going to get it. He said, wait until you are endued with the power to manifest it. Amen? I'm going to say that again. Wait until you are endued with the power from heaven to manifest it. So until you see the manifestation in yourself, don't be looking for it to be in somebody else. You look for it to be in yourself. Amen? Now, we've spoken this waiting as evidence that you truly believe the promise for the hour, and we showed the obedient nature of Christ Jesus, that in all things he waited for what God would show him that he wanted done, and then his doing of what God had showed him. This is the attitude or the attribute that actually brings into manifestation the sonship of each son. In Psalm 145 and verse 15, we read, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, Brother Branham said, from testimony of a true witness, he said, what kind of a witness was it going to be? Wait at Jerusalem until you have completed 20 years of high school or seminary? Wait till you have received your Bachelor of Arts degree. Wait till you have learned to speak in other languages so that if he happened to call you to the mission field, you could speak in them. No, that wasn't it. Just let power from on high come. It'll take care of itself when it comes. You wait until you're endued with power. Oh God, why can't the people see that? It's not a joining of church. It's waiting for power. Wait until you're endued with power from on high, for I'll send him. He's a promise of God, and I'll send him. I'm going to bear record. When he comes, he'll bear record, for he'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of me. Amen. Now, but what kind of witness would a man be that claims to be a witness when he has never even met God face to face? When all he has for an experience is a secondhand experience where he heard from another man's experience on a tape. God don't have grandchildren, he has children. And you can't go into another man's experience, you can't go by another man's experience, you've got to have your own birth, and you kids can't go in on your parents' experience. You've got to have your own experience with God. Now in Matthew 11:27, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So once the Son has revealed him, then there's others that know the Father. You understand? I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but Jesus said, wait until you're endued with power, and then go and witness throughout the world. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, since. And Brother Bell quoted Michener when he said, when language loses its meaning, it's all over. And God will not give us this power until we have the character of Christ. And that led us to Christ is the mystery of God, number 75, attributes of a son of God, number 8, they have the character of Christ. And here we found that our character is expressed through the works that we do. from Brother Bram's sermon, Believe from the Heart. He said, Jesus was a witness of God. He became so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in him, reconciling the world to himself, the very expression, a man's work declares his character. Christ was God's character, and Christ declared God's character, his feeling for the sick, his longing for saving souls, till even he gave his own life. God's work, God's character was declared in Christ. And don't forget, he said, your character declares you. Romans 5:1. Therefore being justified, your works declares your character. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience produces character. And character brings forth hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And you know, when you have hope, sometimes you do things that are foolish to the world. But they're done because they're a reflection. That's your work. Noah built the ark because he had hope that his family would be saved in his doing it. From the church choosing law for grace, he said, and a man, whoever amounts to anything, is a man that stands alone. Him and God alone. That's the man. On the Jericho road, there's room for just two, no more and no less. Just Jesus and you. That's all. And so that's the way that we have to walk, this narrow way. Every man that ever did anything for God walked the same road. That's right. Criticized, forsaken, cast out, through all ages, all times, they've had to suffer the same thing, so we are just like they are. Same thing. We have to stand it alone, but never alone, because he's always there. Now, you ought to write that one down in your Bibles and read it every day. If you mean anything to God, you are going to be alone. If your life is a reflection of him, you will have to stand alone. Everyone did. Here we examine Moses and Jacob and Joseph and Samuel and David and Paul and Jesus and even William Branham, showing how all of these men of God had to stand alone against the ecclesiastical circles who never understood these men's relationship with God. And that led us to Christ the mystery of God, number 76, attributes of the Son of God. They will project Christ's life in their life. From Colossians 3:1, if you are risen with Christ, that means you're born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. In other words, your focus should be on the things above. Set your affections on those things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died to yourself, dead as a doornail, and that life is now hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, when he shall manifest or express himself in his true identity, then you will also manifest in your true identity, the real you, because it is God working in you to will and to do. And if it's God life manifesting in you and through you, projecting that life to the world, and it is through his glory, his doxa, his values, his opinions, expressing themselves from you, that Christ will be manifest in his true identity, that he has a many membered body. And it is this God life in you manifesting his values and opinions, and that's virtue. That's the power being expressed. And so we see that the Son of God, who is filled with Christ's life, God life, will project from his vessel the very life that now inhabits his vessel. Brother Bram said in a sermon, 5 identifications of the true church of the living God. He said, John 14:12, he gives a teaching what the church should do. In John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, we'll see what that says, John 14:12. So we read it, make it official, all right? John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's the message of the church. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, living in the church. King of the church, raised from the dead, same yesterday, today, and forever, performing the same works, doing the same things that Jesus did. That's the message of the church, and if the church isn't teaching that, it's teaching some false theology. That's what Jesus commanded them to preach. And one of the brothers that left the church because I was preaching this is the one who gave me this quote. That blows my mind. They saw it in the prophet, They even gave me the quote, and then they turn on it and say, I'm preaching false. It's the end time, brother. It's the end time, sisters. There is a departing from the faith. And that led us to Christ the Mystery of God, number 78, attributes of a Son of God, number 10. They will do the same works that Christ did. Here we examine the Word of God and the promises that the things that He did, we will also do if we have the same Spirit, if we are Spirit-filled with the same Spirit that filled Him. Now, from his sermon, Accepting God's Provided Way, Brother Branham said, well, that's the way that we're supposed to do. If I see a promise in the Bible that's God's Word, then I just stay there and I cry out till God gives it to me. How many of you I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But how many of you get on your knees when you see a promise in the Bible? And you stay there and you knock and you knock and you knock and you knock and you knock. Like the parable of the unjust judge. Until God manifests that promise to you. That's the only way you're going to get it. God's waiting on you. That's what he says here. If I see a promise in the Bible that's God's word, then I just stay there and cry out till God gives it to me. And he'd do that to get you off his hands. You see, that would be in the natural. But he's wanting you to do it. He likes for you to ask. Ask abundantly, Jesus said, that your joys might be full. Yeah, cry until his word is vindicated. Now, friend, let's watch just a minute now. Cry until the word is vindicated. The trouble of it is we get a cookie and think that's all that there is. There's a whole table full. We get so that we can speak in tongues. We say, oh, brother, that's it. Oh, no, that ain't it. That's just some of it. That's right. Oh, I got happy enough to shout. That's some more of it. But there's a whole lot more of it. Just keep on crying out until that's God's provided way for his people. God's provided way always is to take his word and hold on to it until it's vindicated to you. Now, do you follow me? God's a provided way. Hold on to the promise until it's made manifest to you. That's how God does it. I saw a program the other day where they had gone into a whole bunch of these guys that tried to imitate Brother Branham. Morris Sorello. Who was the guy from Columbus, Don? No, he had a big church and went to jail, came back. Yeah. Anyway, there are a whole bunch of them. And they went and they showed all of these guys and they all got gimmicks. You know, they all have you put your name and address and telephone number and what's your problem on a prayer card. Then they take these prayer cards and they have somebody through a little microphone, and they tell these people, oh, that's so-and-so, and he's from this address, and he's from this address, and they all work it to the point where they actually act like they got some word of discernment or something like that. And they said, but when it comes to the miracles, the people in the wheelchairs, unless there's somebody that's in a wheelchair, like years ago, I was batching it because LaVon went back to see her mother, and I went down, visited with Brother Fred down in Jeffersonville. And the two of us, we went up to Indianapolis because there was a faith healer from Missouri, some young guy. And, he had supposedly had the word of knowledge. So, we went, and the whole thing was just a pollution, just a total pollution. I don't want to get into it here. But on the way out the door, this woman that supposedly had gotten healed and she came out of a wheelchair. You know, I went, I saw her in the back and I said, sister, I said, what did God heal you of? And she goes, emphysema. She was in a wheelchair just because she couldn't take the steps going up and down. And they knew that. And they wheeled her up to the front to show that she could walk after he had prayed for her. These are the kind of contortions and the kind of things that they go through. But they said, you never see what you saw with William Branham. Now, they didn't say with William Branham, but you never see people that had missing limbs had limbs restored in front of your eyes. They never showed, you never see in their meetings like you saw in William Branham where a little girl with no eyes in her socket and God put eyes in her socket. Like we had a man in this church, his heel was cut off and God grew the heel back. You don't see that stuff in these so-called charismatic things, but I'm going to tell you something. If you believe God and you're part of God, the same that he did, you'll do also. And that is why I'm going to keep preaching Romans 8 and Ephesians 1 and John 14 until I see the word manifested to me. Listen, brothers and sisters, God is not obligated to just give it to you. You've got to ask him. Then you're going to receive it. From who Jesus is, Brother Brown said, then where we fail, friends, is not praying. Prayer is the keynote. Ask and you shall receive it. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Ask and believe that you receive what you asked for. Then hold on to it. Don't leave it. If it's a promise in the Bible and it's been revealed to you that God's going to give it to you, then hold on to it. And in the book of James 4 and 2, we're told, yet you have not because you ask not. He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, your motives are wrong for asking. Now, the way to go about it is you have to recognize the need, then you have to find where God promised that need in the scripture, or find where he helps someone with that same need, and then ask. And believing God is not a respecter of persons. Keep at it until God does it for you what he did for that other person. Luke 11 and 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In closing, Brother Bram said in the spoken words original seed, he said, the works that Jesus did, if a man has a seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God, and if the same Spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to St. John, the 14th chapter, verse 12. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one or not. See if the word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now Jesus said, absolutely, absolutely. Verily, verily means absolutely, absolutely. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall I do? Shall he do, because I go to my Father. And people say, well, that was just one man. You know what that is? Brother Brown said, intellectualism is taking the word and using intellectual whatever to make it of no effect. If the Bible has a promise, I don't care if it was for William Branham. You can ask for the same thing. I'm not saying go around asking for the sign of Messiah. But anything that you saw in that man's life, you have a right to ask for it. Elisha asked for a double portion of what Elijah had, and God gave it to him. And he had twice as many miracles as Elijah. And I would love to see someone in this message with enough faith to have twice as many miracles as William Branham did. And it wouldn't put the man off the word. It wouldn't make him some false anointed. It would mean that he's an Elisha. And I just pray that we all come to that place, because one day, we already know what the third pole is. Brother Adam said, you've seen it. But he said, when the squeeze comes, you're going to need it. And it's going to be there for you. That's what John 14:12 is all about. Let's be believing for it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thankful, Father, that we got through at least half of these this evening. Pray you'd help us to get through the other half on Sunday. And Father, we just ask you to bless us, Lord, not just that we could get through these things, but Father, that they might become part of us. As we talk about them and we read about them again and we go over them again and again, Father, may we, as Brother Branham always quoted Jesus saying, you have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly, that your joy might be full. So we ask, Father, abundantly. We're asking abundantly. We're knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, Father, until we see John 14:12 evident. We see it manifested in many lives. Until we see sons everywhere conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Until we see manifestations of sons of God. Until we see the actual adoption and placing of sons to where they know their position in the family. We're just going to keep knocking and knocking and knocking, Father, until you open that for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Ahem.